We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 437. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Fanak. Well, all, thanks so much and for tuning in. I'm sorry we had a little break there. Scott did a little traveling and I'm about to go again, but we didn't want to miss another show.
You don't want to get too far behind. I think this is our first one in August, so
First and last, yeah. It's sometimes tempting for us to take a little more time off, but there's a lot happening. And if you've been watching any of the net waves, I guess you call it, wouldn't be radio waves, wouldn't be listening to them. Anyway, there's a lot going on about SEO, and it's definitely high time for us to give you an update. Thank you, Scott, for putting together some great notes today. I guess a quick side thing. How was your holiday?
It was great. And there's one very small thing I want to mention that's not really relevant, but a little bit relevant. We were sitting out looking at the stars, Lindsay and I, my wife, and we saw this string of lights shoot across the sky. And we were like, what's that? Because it was in a distance, right? We kind of thought it was the Northern Lights because we were supposed to be able to see them that night, which we didn't, go figure. But we're like, is that the Northern Lights? Because you couldn't really tell. And then it got closer and closer. We're like, wait a minute, what is this? It was like this, a whole bunch of lights, like maybe like 20 lights. And it looked like a Christmas string above the clouds. It was crazy. And then we're like, what the blank is that? What the blank is? I think we said it like 100 times. And it got closer and it's going faster and faster. And it's like, why don't I have my phone? And she freaked out, ran inside, grabbed her phone, went to the front yard because that's sort of the direction the lights were going, and we never saw them again. And no. She's like, we were literally worried that they were aliens. Like, legit, the first time in my life I legit thought I saw alien spacecraft. And so Thursday then, of course, this was, oh, I don't remember, it's a few nights ago anyways. And so Thursday, we're like,
Thursday night my family or my friends were coming to the cottage where we were staying, and it's their cottage, we were waiting for them, and they saw what you're talking about. And yeah, it was actually they believe it was space garbage or something coming through.
I did actually look it up, and I did find out exactly what it is. So I the first thing I did was do a Google search of I think I actually said WTF, but you know, what it actually stands for are these lights in the sky. And Lindsay actually referred to them as a space worm. She described it as a space worm, and the kids are going crazy like, why are you, it's not a worm anyways. So and I found a ton of posts of people asking the same question. It was like all over the place. Okay. And what it is it was Elon Musk and Starlink. And when they launched the satellites, I guess they launched them together. And then over time, they spread out across the sky. And so then it was less scary when I knew that it wasn't aliens coming to destroy us all. But
of course, you went glasses half empty. But anyway.
Oh, of course we did. Well, we didn't know what it was. We had to explain it, right? I don't know.
Well, it could be aliens, but it could be good aliens.
Yeah. So if you Google search Starlink satellites and, you know, or Google it or YouTube it or whatever, there's tons of videos of them shooting across the sky in videos. And I don't know how I'd never come across that. I see everything online, I feel like, and I'd never seen that before or knew that they were launched that way. Or
I was envious. I wish I'd seen it.
They'll come by again. Apparently they came by a couple of days after that as well, that I think my sister said she saw them, but
well, he's launching thousands, isn't he?
I actually found a map, a real time map of where they are. It's a 3D map. I'll send you the link. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes if people care. And there are about 2,500 of them in the sky currently.
Wow.
So it's crazy. And watching it on the map is actually kind of fascinating. It's quite interesting. Well, I find it.
Well, that was more of a side than I thought, but that was cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I rambled there. So everyone listening, this is the Elon Musk Starlink show on SEO 101.
Ah, that's so cool. So let's start with some, well, pretty much the news of the day, news of the week, news of the month, could be the news of the year, depending on how it rolls out. Google's new, and I love how they call it this, helpful content update is rolling out. Is it next week? I believe it's next week.
It was supposed to be this week, the week of the 22nd. I haven't seen signs of it yet, but that doesn't mean it hasn't started.
I've heard there are some signs somewhere. I just didn't know that that was pre-rollout or what. But anyway, there is significant assumption, because it's all assumption at this point, that it's going to be as significant as Pandas, the big Panda update that changed the way we do SEO. Now, with that said, it's about creating content that's helpful for your web, like helpful for people. And if you don't have any helpful web content, it's going to now not serve you well. Now, either it'll be ignored, or because it's a site-wide signal, if you have too much of it, it'll actually diminish your site-wide rankings, which is a big concern, a big, big, big concern. And, you know, back when Panda came out, it was devastating. Some people, like I was around the time, I think just after or before Florida, and Florida, when it came out, it ruined lives. Apparently it was $1 billion loss of business. Well, that, so much money was lost.
And that was right before Christmas, if I remember right, which is extra bad.
It was horrible. And I can imagine there's people out there today that still hate Google for what they did then, because that was unmitigated horror. Anyways, in my opinion, it is not going to be nearly that impactful, simply because Google's gotten a little smarter about how they roll things out. They do things softly now, I think, because of that damage. I think they should by now know just how much power they have and how they can ruin lives by how they launch this out. But yeah, I just sort of encapsulated it here, but I know there's some notes you got here. So what are some of the details, Scott?
All right. Well, you mentioned there, it is a site-wide algorithm. So that's important to know. A lot of these algorithms and updates, you know, if you have a bad page, you deal with that page and you're good, but this, you know, you have a few bad pages, could affect everything. One thing to note is subdomains should be considered separately. So, you know, if you have a number of subdomains, one might get burned. Well, hopefully not, but you know, it won't affect your subdomains and expand to that. Probably. So Danny Sullivan, it depends. Danny Sullivan said, we tend to see subdomains apart from root domains, but it also can depend on many factors. So there you go. Might help or might hurt subdomains, might not. If you're hit by this update, obviously you're going to want to look at the quality of your content. We don't know to what extent that means yet. We'll learn that in the coming weeks, I'm sure. And it does sound like this is an update that will refresh regularly, but there may be a timeout or validation period. So if you do get hit, it could still take a few months to recover from it. So we'll see how that plays out as well. But not like some updates where, you know, you make your fix and you could see results within, well, even minutes in some cases. But you won't have to wait for a full new update, like say the product review update or some other major core update or something. So.
Yeah. I mean, I worry about how well they've built this. I mean, I was thinking about our own site. We don't publish a lot of articles anymore, but we publish show notes and we publish some of the links from within that. Will they consider that helpful? I think it is.
Well, that's just it too, right? It's a lot of, it's kind of subjected to interpretation. Like, just because we think it's helpful, will Google think it's helpful? And maybe it rightfully is, but does the AI see it that way? Like,
yeah. And what maybe Google thinks is helpful, I'm trying not to swear, whatever, you know, they're going to be honing this. It's going to be full of BS the first round, almost always. They're going to have so many holes And hopefully there'll be enough people yelling at them that they'll go, oh yeah, all right, that's fine. And they'll start to hone the algorithm and make things better. So, you know, they said that if you are concerned about things, either wholesale or remove unhelpful content, like hell, like yeah. I would not do that unless you're absolutely sure you've got garbage on your site. Don't go and remove it all. I mean, that's acting too swiftly and playing to Google's game. And I do not recommend that. If you're losing your shirt, maybe, you know, that's an extreme example. Maybe then, and you have some certainty you've got garbage. Well, sure. Remove it. Maybe just disable it. And then you can start to slowly bring it back if you think it had some value and Google's just didn't understand it. These ones scare me and they infuriate me. But we'll see. Anything that is based on Google's guesses through AI gives me the willies.
You just never know how it's going to play out. And I don't know, but we'll find out. We're going to find out pretty soon too.
We will. And right on time for my holiday. Thank you, Google.
Perfect. Oh man, it's just going to be a nightmare on Monday. It's just, everyone's going to be calling you, Ross, help. why they'd call you and not me, I don't know, but they're going to call you because I'm going to say, talk to Ross. I can't help you.
I will make sure it's forwarded to you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'll put my vacation responder on even though I'm home.
All right. Well, what's next here on the news?
Yeah. So as soon as this update is over, there's going to be the August product reviews update, which I find incredibly odd because the July one just wrapped up at the beginning of August. So it'll actually, the product review update will lapse across twice, two different updates in the same calendar month. Little update on the fourth one. There's not a lot to say here, but a little update. That one ran between July 27th and August, or sorry, 27th and August 2nd. And apparently it was very minor according to all the data providers like SEMrush and Rank Ranger and SimilarWeb. Some sites did have a major impact, but really I didn't see a lot of people freaking out about that. Not a big deal, really, it seems. And the fifth update will just sort of, who knows? It hasn't started yet. But if you know your product review site, you definitely want to pay attention to that. And we've talked about it to death in a number of other shows about what to do for product review stuff. So maybe take a look at one of those. But just make good, high quality, unique reviews is sort of the gist of what you need to be doing there.
So. Actually do the reviews. Don't regurgitate other people's reviews and show images and show videos and make it undeniable that you did the review yourself and you're offering value. Win.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this for a decade at least.
But really all content should be like that you create.
Exactly. Yeah. This is why we do authority building plans for clients. We want to make sure that whatever content they're going to write, they can sit down and go know what to write, first of all, but also know that this content is based on other content that's done really well in different verticals or the same, but in different parts of the world. You know, it just don't reinvent the wheel. Make sure that when you're writing, you're going to write something that's good and then invest in that writing and do it so well that these kind of updates are whatever, water off a duck, you know? Yeah. And in most cases, I hope our clients feel that way too about this, but
I mean, also, not to pat our own backs, but I feel like when there's a big Google update, almost all of our clients always survive it unscathed. Not 100% of the time, you know, there's certain updates that do certain things, but almost entirely, it's not a big deal. So
yeah. And if they don't, it's usually a client that is very large and has worked with other firms in the past or has a huge history and has decades of content that we haven't had any active participation in. Again, to take all the guilt from us, maybe we should have noticed that or who knows. But the point is, no one's perfect and some sites do get knocked a bit around by these.
Yeah.
So Google Rich results. I didn't actually see this. So let me know what's up here.
Yeah. So not a big one, but just sort of a bit of a change in what we're seeing in the SERPs. Rank Ranger actually reported it near the beginning of August there. And I would have mentioned it in the last show, but we didn't have that last show. So I figured it might be worth mentioning here. There's been a reduction in the number of FAQs appearing in search results where people also ask results are actually increasing. So just sort of a note there. So this started at the end of July and they've been seeing this change over rolling into August. A really quick summary of what the difference is between People Also Ask and the FAQ rich snippet. So People Also Ask, you'll see it under the heading, People Also Ask, and a number of questions, and you can expand it. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with what People Also Ask are. Whereas the FAQ rich snippet is often, it appears more like site links underneath an individual SERP listing for a website. So those site links of sorts that link to the individual Q&As found within a site are what we're seeing fewer of, whereas the People Also Ask is increasing. So if you had those FAQs, which I have a few clients that do, you know, we might see some action from there in terms of less traffic, potentially, that sort of thing. But, you know, maybe try to get in that People Also Ask. I've got a couple quick tips here on how to do that. You know, first of all, we just talked a whole bunch about this, create high quality content. In this case, you want that content related to questions that you want to rank for, be listed in the People Also Ask for. Make sure you mark up that content with schema appropriately. FAQ pages can help sometimes, FAQ page markup. Look for content that is ranking and work to create better answers to those same questions. Kind of a no-brainer, but maybe not. Or you could create content that is highly relevant to those questions and hope you appear amongst them, not necessarily stealing a spot, but adding to the list. And then this was an interesting one. I don't know where I saw this. It might have been on Search Engine Roundtable or somewhere else, but it was consider using the same formatting for your version. So if there's somebody that's doing really well in that People Also Ask box and they have a video, or maybe they're using tables or bullets or something like that, follow that trend, use that same kind of formatting and those same styles, and you might have a better chance of getting there. Because really, if Google's showing a video to an answer to a question, you know, there's a reason. That maybe they want a video there, and so why not create a video if it makes
sense? Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. So Oh, I was going to say, or on the flip side, if it's only text, maybe add a video. Maybe you'll get a boost there, but you kind of copy the formatting that's being used.
Yeah, and competitor, this is just another good example of competitor monitoring. A lot of the services, like say SEMrush or something like that, offer the ability to do competitor monitoring. And yeah, hey, I'm guilty too. I don't check it very often. But if you have it set up so that you do, even just check once a month, what's going on? What are they doing? Oh, interesting. Pass that along to your SEO, or pass that along, you know, be them off you know, internal or external SEO. And just to give them a little more ammunition, a few new ideas on what to do to make things better. I think sometimes SEO is like working out. If you're always doing the same thing, you're on the treadmill all the time, it gets easy, but your gains are lower. If you mix it up and start doing the stair climber and then the bike, and then it's going to be hard.
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages. Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hard. It's going to be really hard, especially in workout. But when it comes to SEO, you get to get a little more exposure, right? And you try new things, and it shows up. It shows up in the whole pattern of your site and the quality, and it'll attract different users with different ways of learning. You'll have better chances of appearing in rankings that perhaps you never even thought of getting. And also, you have a better chance of showing up in universal search results, the standard results we see these days, but with images or videos. And it's just fascinating how much you can do when you think outside of the box or just do some different things that you've seen competitors do. Yeah. Very cool. Good, some good tips there. One of the things I saw recently, I wanted to share with any SEOs out there. I thought this was a good thing. It was all about ways of getting through potential depression, which we're all talking about, well, potentially economic depression right now, that may be hitting next year or whatever. How to stay around, make sure that you keep that SEO going with your clients. And I was thinking about it myself. I'm like, it's a good point. It's something I should start thinking about, even with our own clients. And I think it's really a good idea to be proactive right now and say, hey, let's set up a chat and talk about where things are going to be next year if things do get tougher. What can we be doing to help you reinforce your position, maybe reposition you in certain places or just position you in different places that we haven't done before that might get you some additional business and help you weather the storm? It shows that you care, which we do, and we really want to make sure our clients remember that, and that you're not just, again, on that treadmill. You're not just doing the same thing all the time. You're really assisting them with their marketing. So just a little tip there for anyone who's listening. I think it's going to be helpful. And this is our 25th year. I've been doing this a while, and running a business is not easy, especially when these little things come up, little things, you know, like depressions.
Yeah. Hate
that. Yeah. You really got to be on top of it. And I'm guilty of not being on top of it in the past. So learn from my mistakes and jump on it now. Make sure that you really show your value so that you're invaluable when things do hit the fan. All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some Google Search Console updates.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. So Google Search Console has more updates, and I did read about this one. The International Targeting Report is being removed, or deprecated, as Google says, from the Search Console. I don't know how much this is going to impact people because they're still going to allow you to see any issues with hreflang and stuff, at least as I understood. So Scott, you, I know, probably did more research on this, and you look at Google Search Console more than I do.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So yeah, they're taking it away September 22nd. So if you have a website that focuses on multiple languages and hreflang is part of your environment for your website, this might matter to you because the report is going to be gone. So you won't be able to see if you've got hreflang errors. John Mueller actually had said that we're not planning on removing hreflang support from search but there are many good hreflang checkers out there per page and across site. So my impression is that there will be nothing. If you want to find out how your href is doing, hreflang tags are doing, and if they're correct, you're going to need another tool to do that with. Search Console is just not going to support it anymore at all. Although search will. Okay. So hreflang is still super important for your appearance in search, but Google's just not going to tell you anything about it, which seems totally backwards these days. I don't know why they're removing it. Maybe it's highly CPU intensive. I can't imagine that there would be some other technical reason, but Not sure, but it's going away. So if you rely on that report, you're going to have to find another tool to do that for you. I'm not sure if SEMrush does that or not. I've never actually looked because it's been in Search Console. Screaming Frog might report on some of those as well. I'm going to have to personally find my own way of checking, although it's not a big issue for me. We don't have a lot of clients where this matters, but there are some.
Just looking at this, because I was obviously I had misread it thinking that there was still the ability to see the errors, but and then I was wondering why. Why would they remove something that's helpful? It always boggles my mind. Well, I think John Mueller actually, whether he intended to or not, I think he might have answered that question. His reply to someone asking about this was, and to be honest, I struggled a lot with the hreflang report in Search Console. I think it was a good idea and useful, but the focus on indexed URLs meant that it was more of a, quote, did I do things right a year ago, unquote, rather than a live confirmation. Crawling the website yourself is much more immediate. So maybe that was why it wasn't as effective, and really it's better to use these checkers. So that's interesting. I mean, I don't think that means they should have removed the report, but I don't know, there must be some reason for it. Maybe it does take cycles of, well, obviously it does. It takes some resources from Google. Maybe it was too intensive for what it offered.
Yeah. So that's, you know, another feature dead.
Yep.
They like doing that.
Yeah. They like to mix things up, and just when you need them, it's gone.
Yeah. And this next one, I noticed after I came back from vacation, and I was like, what did they do? Where's this report gone? So in Search Console, they have also simplified their reporting. So before, you would go in and you would see categories like errors, warnings, valid, and excluded. And that has now been simplified right down to indexed or not indexed, which I think I actually like it, to tell you the truth. Usually I don't like any of their changes, but really, like, errors and warnings, why do they have to have their own tab? And it was kind of annoying bouncing back and forth sometimes. And so it's kind of nice. So you'll still see which pages are indexed and not indexed. There's a new column added in the report below the chart that shows the reason and the source. So is a reason a page is not indexed because of your website or because of a Google system reasoning? So for example, a page might not be indexed because your robots.txt tells Google don't index this page. So that would be your website saying don't index it. Or it might be because Google's found an alternative canonical that it seems to think is more important. So then it would say it's a Google system chosen reason. So, you know, I think it's going to be good. It's not a major change. Once you actually look at it, we can pick it up pretty quick and figure it out. But it came as a surprise to me because it totally threw me off. And I thought, oh my God, what's happening? Why is it? And then it was, it's not a big deal.
But I think it's actually a good segue into the next part you had here about being indexed when they were not indexed.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want me to? Yeah, I'll go into there.
Go for it.
Yeah, the next one. Yeah, so August 17th, Google had a bug. We need the bug section. There are bugs so many times. I say that every time, too. We need a bug section. We never actually do one. No. August 17th, Google reported that there was a bug in Google Search Console that was reporting pages as being indexed when they were not indexed. But you know about them, so why aren't they indexed? Anyways, the bug has been fixed. But if you're going through your Google Search Console results and you see any weird anomalies on or around August 17th, there's a good chance it was related to the bug. So, you know, if on the 18th, suddenly a whole bunch of pages are suddenly de-indexed, I would say don't panic. It's not something new, but maybe you should, because they probably should be indexed and you might want to look into it further anyways. But nothing has actually changed. Nothing's different from August 16th. It's just the bug screwed up all the reports and, you know, discount any anomalies you see on or very close to that day.
All right. Well, just because there's not enough news yet about Google Search Console, there's actually a new report. The video indexing report is now live for all. We did discuss this in a past show. Essentially, what it shows is going to show you what pages Google has identified that contains a video on your website, which videos are indexed successfully, and any issues preventing videos from being indexed. These are for videos that are both hosted on your site and also embedded from other sources such as YouTube, Vimeo, Wistia, you name it. So it is great that they see this and that the report is now rolled out to everyone. I have yet to see any negative or positive reports about it, but that's because I haven't looked, because I'm sure there are.
There always is. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's fairly vocal in our industry. Have you, you know, we don't have any clients that specifically focus on video, so I haven't really looked at the report lately. Have you had a chance to take a peek?
I haven't seen a lot yet. I did see one client who has a number of videos. It's not video focused, but they have a number of videos. And there were some that are not being included because Google is unable to determine which is the primary video of the page. That's the only error I've seen so far. So I can't comment much on that because this is new. So I'll get down to the bottom of that and figure out what it is that determines Google to see that video as the primary video.
Can you
what
specify that really which one's a primary? That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to have to do with maybe a heading leading into the video or some text surrounding it or
put something. Primary above the video.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, is it not red, yellow, and green or blue? What are the primary colors again? Oh my god, yeah. I struggled with that.
Yeah,
I need to go back to elementary school. Who knows? I don't know exactly what that means yet. But I was on holiday, so I've got holiday brain still. So I've got to recover from
that. There you go. Now, I feel like we talked about this next one on local SEO in a past show, but maybe not. Time flies. Anyway, Google business profiles are being considered, you know, maybe subject to spam issues if you have duplicate photos, posts, videos, and logos within your content. So essentially, they're looking for anything that devalues the Google business profile, which if there's one thing we've learned over the last while in the local SEO field, it's that Google seems to put a lot of weight on how much you use and maintain your Google business profile. A lot being a rather laden phrase, but they seem to reward you for it. If you keep active in there, do posts, all this sort of thing, it's good. Well, now they're taking it to the next level and making sure that you're doing quality stuff. So they want to make sure there's no misspellings, problems with character use, garbage, gibberish, any automated content, anything distracting. You know, they want to make sure that there's no malware, viruses, or other harmful software being linked to, and any scams, of course. There's a full policy we'll link to within the show notes that you can check out. Give you a little more in-depth understanding of what they consider an issue. But again, not something you have to worry about if you're doing this all above board and doing a good job of creating content you know people will care about. It's kind of simple. And that's when you follow those rules, everything's pretty easy. Just a lot of work to do that. That's all.
The rules are often kind of a no-brainer, really, if you think about them and you look at what they are. And if you're above board, you're probably not going to do this stuff anyways. Yeah, but it's good to have them in writing and know that this is what Google cares about or doesn't care about. So
yeah, the only thing I can think of that might be a problem for even those who are trying to do it the best way possible is if you've used any kind of outsourced service, sometimes the service themselves cut corners and maybe use the same images or same logos or repurpose portions of content to make things easier for themselves. So you might want to police that a bit now that you have some awareness of the issues that Google's looking for. All right, time for the Mueller files. Google Lens reporting. Now, Google Lens, what is this? This is the ability to take an image. You can take an image of anything using the Google Lens app on your phone. Let's say a pen or I don't know, a widget, something you need, and it'll look for anything that's similar within its database of images. And that'll allow you to hopefully find a product if you want to buy another one, find parts for it, find the part that you're looking for so you can order it. It's quite helpful. I've used it a few times and it's actually worked fairly well. I honestly forget about it always, but it's just one of those tools that's there. Anyways, it has become more popular and some SEOs are asking if the traffic data from Lens will appear in Google Search Console. According to John, nothing is currently in Search Console to cover that. And quote, my feeling is it would need to be in a separate report and Lens is probably still too new to be in a place where it won't change significantly, unquote. New is debatable. I think it's been around a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I guess it's, you know, still evolving heavily, and maybe the technology behind it is definitely changing, even though the interface has been around.
And anything like that is always going to change. I can't imagine it ever stopping changing. I mean, there's just so much to it, and it's cutting edge. So I like what they include that out there and make it available to the masses. It really stretches your mind about what can be done with search and what you could do with your business. It's a good example of branding, ensuring that, you know, you have branding on products. I'm going to get off track here, but anyways, it is very cool, and you should try using it a bit on your own products if you have some that you sell online, and see whether or not you show up. And if they don't, maybe look into why. Why are you not showing up as one of the results for that particular shape that it took a photo of?
Really want to rank for circles.
Exactly. Well, that was a lot. And I hope you enjoyed the show. It's one of those weeks where we are catching up, and, well, you just never know what we're going to find. But I think that was a lot of value. And on behalf of myself, Ross, yeah, you see, I lose track. I have too many things on my brain here. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company, Senior SEO, Scott Van Ack, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com, where you don't have to miss a single link, and refresh your memory of a past show at any time. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Great. Thank you for listening, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.